Morning. Today's daf is daf Samech Ches in Zvachim. We're a little bit behind. We're starting the Mishnah today on Samech Ches Amud Beis. No, we're Samech Ches Amud Aleph. Okay. We're good. We'll be fine. Okay. What a daf yesterday. Mishnayos and Kinim. So we got through the hard part. The third, fourth, sixth Mishnah of Kinim we did yesterday, with some success, not total, but got through the bulk of it. But basically, it all comes down to the Chiddush of Rabbi Yehoshua. Rabbi Yehoshua says that you have an Ola, and the Ola can change. It can change into a Chatas. It's very limited. It's this application of Rabbi Yehoshua. First of all, he only says in the world of birds. He doesn't say it in the world of animals. He can't do that by a carbon, which is a zavach, which is a real animal. That doesn't happen. And even in the world of birds, the Gemara yesterday concluded by saying that even according to Rabbi Yehoshua, this change of going from an Ola to a Chatas is not a real change. It's not really turning into a Chatas. It's a Chatas in respect to the laws of Me'ila, not subject to the laws of Me'ila, but to say that it really turns into a Chatas. Maybe Rabbi Yehoshua doesn't go that far. I didn't do yesterday. Tosfos, it's an important Tosfos. I should have done it yesterday, ran out of time. But Tosfos discusses the very nature of this change, of going, changing from an Ola to a Chatas. The Tosfos, which is Amar Damar of Yehoshua, that the last Tosfos of the Sugya, which, okay, incomplete for yesterday. We start with the new Mishnah. And we will be discussing. We're still on the topic of birds. Chatas Ha'of, the seventh parak of Zvachim, is all about birds, and we're going to continue our discussion of the birds. And we're going to be discussing today really two things: the Malika, which we've talked about in the past, and the consequence of doing Malika. Okay, specifically the bird not becoming a Nevela. Okay, so just some basic concepts before we start with the Mishnah. We start with the upcoming Gemara. And that's, first of all, the concept of Malika. Malika is what you do in the Beis Hamikdash to a bird. Okay, normally what you do to a bird is something called shechting. Well, it's normally what you do to most animals, right? To large animals, to cows, to sheep, to goat, right? All behema v'chaya, and to birds. And that's the process of killing it, and that's shechting. Now, shechting really accomplishes two things in general. This is just a general introduction, and then we're going to start with our mission. Shechting, number one, allows you to eat the animal. Okay, good. Right, with a proper shechita. So the Torah now has given us license, permission to eat the meat of the animal. Right, really all parts of the animal, except for the gedanasha and some of the fats in the animal. Okay, but shechita is a matir. It permits us to eat the animal. The second thing that shechita does, which people don't generally talk about because it's not as relevant, but that is that shechita removes tuma. An animal that dies without a proper shechita is a nevela. A nevela gives off tuma, right? Gives off all types of tuma b'maga, tuma b'masa. Yeah, you can touch it, you'll become tame. You carry it, you become tame. Not ohal. That's for a human body, not for a carcass of a dead animal. So it gives off tuma. So if and when you give it a proper shechita, so it's not going to give off any type of tuma. Okay, so shechita really accomplishes two things. That's true in the world of animals. It's also true in the world of birds as well. Now, just make sure that we're all aware, when it comes to birds, birds also give off a tuma when the bird is a nevela, but not through the contact and through the carrying, the maga and the masa, that we generally speak about in terms of animals. It gives off tumas nivlas of tahor, right? Tumas besa blia, right? The tuma of the besa blia. Blia bolea means to swallow. So that means that you could touch the carcass of a bird all day, you won't be tame. You can carry it, you won't be tame. But when you eat it, you eat a kazayas of it, so now you're going to be tame. Okay.
Now, the same
tuma
as if you touch a dead cow?
Yeah, in other words, right. It's the same level, meaning the dead cow is an avatama, and when you touch it, you become a rishon. Same thing with a bird. With a bird, when you swallow the bird, when you consume part of the bird, so the bird now, that's so to say an avatama, and now you're going to become a rishon. Yes, same degree as tuma. Now, again, I point this out all the time because it's just weird. It's a little bit ironic. You're not allowed to eat it. Right, there's an iser to eat an avela. Okay, good. So you're not allowed to eat it. So in addition to getting an iser in the Torah of eating a bird that wasn't shechted properly, you're also going to become tummy, add insult to injury. Okay, add tuma to iser. fine. Two different discussions. There's a discussion of Isser, and there's a discussion of Tumah. Right? They exist on two different playing fields. Okay. In the Beis HaMikdash, again, just more introduction. So instead of Shechita, the Torah says that when you get to a bird, you do something called Malika. Malika is the Shechita of the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah tells you that you're in the Beis HaMikdash, you have a bird, so you don't do Shechita, but you do Malika, which is the Kohen takes his very own thumb, inserts it into the back of the neck of the bird, and depending on whether it's an Ola or a Chatas, he just presses forward. And he goes forward and he just continues to press forward until he gets to the pipes. If it's a Chatas, one pipe. If it's an Ola, two pipes. And now the bird obviously is dead. And it's not an Avela. Okay? I know it's not an Avela because, number one, the Torah tells me that's how you kill it. And number two, if it's a Chatas, the Kohen eats it. If it's an Ola, it goes up onto the Mizbeach. In other words, it's consumed either by Kohanim or by the Mizbeach. Whether it's a chatos or an ola. So it's not an avela anymore. And therefore it's not going to give off tumah anymore.
All right.
Oh, good, good. I'm setting us up for the Mishnah. All right. That's exactly what we're going to be discussing today. And so now, for the rest of today, what we're going to be discussing is a number of permutations in terms of what if you did Malika outside the Beis HaMikdash? Not in the Beis HaMikdash. What if you did Malika to a non-consecrated bird? Okay. What if a non-Kohen did Malika? Oh my, I could throw out a whole bunch of questions over here. These are all the issues that are going to be discussed today. What if Malika was done with the left hand, not the right hand? Okay, so you see, in other words, there's a whole bunch of permutations of what we can ask. What if here's another one. What if I shecht the bird? Not do Malika to the bird, which was a carbon, but I shecht it. I didn't do right by shechting it, but I did at least take off the tumah. Okay, good. All these questions to ponder. This is what we're going to be discussing today. We start with the Mishnah, where it's Samech Chesam at Aleph, and we start with the very Mishnah. I call up Sulim. It's in parentheses. We're going to read it. Normally, we skip parentheses. These parentheses over here, it's just a question of where this line of Mishnah belongs. Does it belong in the beginning of the Mishnah? Does it belong in the end of the Mishnah? It definitely belongs. Rashi comments on it. Tosfos comments on it. This line belongs. Kol ha'psum shemalkum likasam psula. Ve'inam atam e'beis ha'bliya. Anyone who's pasul, anyone who's disqualified, who does Malika, the Malika is no good, obviously. Meaning if I do Malika, I'm not a Kohen. And we don't have a base of Mikdash. But aside from that, right? If I do Malika, the Malika is no good. But at least it's not a nevela. Okay, it sounds from the Mishnah, simple pshat in the Mishnah, is that if a pasul, a non-Kohen, does Malika, at least the bird is not a nevela. Okay, much more to discuss about that, but that's really the simple pshat in the Mishnah. Malak b'smolo b'layla, if you have a Kohen who does Malika with his left hand, shouldn't do with your left hand. It's not kosher with your left hand, but if you do Malika with your left hand, or if you do Malika at night, so that would... It's not a kasha malika, but at least the bird is not going to be an avela. Shachat chulam bifnim, the kashim bechutz, if I shecht, not malika, but I shecht. When I say shecht over here, I mean front of the bird with a knife, front of the bird, front of the neck with a knife. Shachat chulam bifnim, the kashim bechutz, einan metamos bebeis habliya. Does not give off to mos beis habliya, which basically means it's not an avela. You accomplished something. You didn't do what you were supposed to do, but you accomplished something in the effect that it's not going to be a nevela. Malak besakin. What if I do Malika with a knife? Okay, what does that mean? Right, Malika, isn't Malika by definition with your fingernail? Yeah. Meaning, you take a knife and you cut through the back of the neck. Malak besakin, malak chulin bifnin. Or if you do non-kodesh birds, chulin. And I do it in the Beis HaMikdash, the kachim bechutz, or I go the other way. I do kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash. So, Torin Shalom, he gives manam of neyona sha'avaz manam. Birds that are too old or too young. Other way around. Birds that are too young or too old. I'll explain that better in just a moment. Shifsha gapa, wing dried up. Nismes eina, I got gouged. Nipta ragla, leg got cut off. mitame bevesablia. In every one of these cases, the bird becomes a nevela. Zehaklal, and just to give us a general rule, kol shepsula bekodesh mitame bevesablia. If the psul takes place in kodesh, so then it's ena mitame bevesablia. The bird is not a nevela. Lo haya psula bekodesh mitame bevesablia. If the psul is not bekodesh, so then it's mitame bevesablia. Okay. Let's go over these cases in the Mishnah a little bit better, a little more meticulously. Okay, all these cases where the bird in fact turns into a nevela. Okay, let's go back to the bottom of Samech Hesamad Aleph. Number one, Malak Besakin. If I do Malika with a knife, okay, what does that mean? It means I take a knife and I go through the back of the neck. Okay, which is not what you're supposed to do. So, take a look at Rashi over here, because it's a great opportunity to go over some basic laws of Shechita, which when we get to Chulin, we're going to do it, but you need to know it over here because you need to understand the Mishnah over here. Malak Besakin, look at the third to last line in Rashi. Umalika lo havye de ba'atmo shokoen be'ina. Now, first of all, when you do Malika with a knife, it's not Malika, right? We'll call it Malika because that's just usually what we say when we go through the back of the neck, but it's not Malika because Malika, by very nature, by its very definition, means a koen. Atmo shokoen. You need the actual koen to do it. You need his fingernail to go through the back of the neck of the bird. No, so it's not really Malika. Okay, that we got clear. Ushchita lo havya, and it's not shchita as well. Kedamrina ba'akol shochtin. Now, why isn't it shchita? Okay, so look at Rashi over here. I'm going to read these next parts slowly. Mimneishu machlid, or mimneishu dores. Either you are machlid or you are dores. Now, explain both of these concepts. When we get to the beginning of Chulin, first two parakim of Chulin, we're going to learn about the laws of Shechita. Laws of Shechita, there are five things that you cannot do when you shecht. Five different disqualifications. None of it's mentioned in the Torah. It's all part of Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Two of the five are Chalada and Drisa, right? What we're discussing over here. Chalada, let's start over there. When you shecht, you have to start from the front, and you have to start from an outside position and go in. The knife cannot be concealed, right? This is what's called chalada. You know what the word chulda means?
Weasel.
Chulda is a weasel, right? Right. Just simple pshat in chalada. It's a weasel. The nature of a weasel is it hides.
Burrow.
Okay. It burrows through. It hides. The knife cannot be in a hidden position. The knife has to be visible. That means the Gemara in Chulin says, for example, what you can't do is I can't take the knife, insert it through the neck, and start cutting, let's say, behind the windpipe and start cutting the esophagus. Now, let's say, for example, it's a bird, where I only need to shecht one pipe. I don't have to shecht both pipes. So what I cannot do is I can't take the knife, insert it into the neck, and start cutting the esophagus, because the knife now is hidden. The Gemara in Chulin, if I remember correctly, I did not look it up. Gemara in Chulin has other discussions about putting a handkerchief over the knife and shechting that way as well. Is that going to be a problem of chalada? Okay, but this is one of the psulei shechita, something you cannot do. So over here, if I'm doing malika from the back of the neck, so one possible problem is that I was machalid. I violate the prohibition of chalada, because by going through the back of the neck, before hitting the pipes, what's happening is that the knife is concealed. It's hidden. Yeah, it's true. I can see part of the knife, but the knife has to be in an exposed position. Okay, that's number one. Issue number two, says Rashi, mibneishu dares. Okay, what's dares? What's drisa? Pressing. Right? Pressure. You can't do that. When you shecht, shechting has to be in a back and forth motion.
Smooth.
Right? It has to be a slice, like when you're, you know, not a chopper, a slice. If you go into the knife and you press the knife in, and pressure comes by a force going into the neck, that's no good. That's a pasul shechita, that's a disqualified shechita. So it cannot be a dras, it has to be molech umevi, back and forth. So when you go through the back of the neck, so you're hitting bone.
You're pressing.
Right? It's very right. It's you're going to get a little more resistance there's this possibility, a strong possibility, that you won't be Melech HaMevi, but you'll just simply chop your way through. And that's no good as well. Okay? So good. So now let's go back. So the Mishnah says, if I'm Malak Pesachin, so that's no good. Malika with a knife is no good, either because you may do Chalada, or you may do Drisa. Okay, next. Malak Chulin Bifnim B'Kashim B'Chut. If I do Malika on Chulin inside the Azara, that's no good. Meaning the bird will turn into a Nevela. Of course. Malika is only a matir for a carbon. This is not a carbon. So therefore Malika won't help at all. Or if I do Malika outside the Beis HaMikdash, also no good. Malika is only a discussion, only a concept in the Beis HaMikdash. There's no such thing as Malika outside the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Good. Let's go to the bird. Let's go to the age of birds. Torin and Bnei Yonah. As we discussed yesterday, only two birds can make it to the Mizbeach. Only a pigeon and a dove. Okay? Which one's which? Bnei Yonah is the dove, right? Yes. And the tour is then going to be the pigeon. Okay. A tour has to be mature. The pigeon has to be mature. And the Yonah has to be young, immature. Huh?
The ritual is the other way around.
So then let's go with him. Right? Bnei.
Yeah, Yonah's a pigeon.
Bnei Yonah's a pigeon.
Bnei Yonah's a pigeon. Fine. Okay, go with him.
Turtle. Yonah is a pigeon now?
Right.
I always thought it was a dog.
Okay, so did I until about 3 seconds ago.
Okay. One's white and one's brown.
Oh, whatever. Okay, I'm going to make the full admission, I don't know. Okay, but here's a little bit that I do know. When we talk about a tour, the tour has to be a certain age, it has to be mature. The reason why we know that is because whenever the Torah describes the word tour, it says simply tour. Whenever the Torah describes the word Yonah, it always describes it as B'nai Yonah. Kind of like B'nai Yisrael, but B'nai Yisrael is not a good, it's a terrible analogy. B'nai Yisrael refers to the Jewish people in totality, even though we keep saying children of Israel, right? But we know children of Israel means we're all descendants of Yaakov, who also goes by the name of Yisrael, so that's why we're called B'nai Yisrael. But whenever the Torah describes Yonah, it says B'nai Yonah. So that means that we know that the Yonah has to be young, has to be immature, physically immature, and the tour has to be physically mature. Rashi over here tells us, if it helps, great. If it doesn't help you, I didn't even know the 5 seconds ago that the Yonah was a pigeon. Okay, but anyway, but if it helps, Rashi goes through the actual maturity, signs of maturity. Rashi describes it as being the color of the down, color of the feathers. Look at the first Rashi on the page. Tarm gedolim v'lo katanim b'nei yonah katanim v'lo gedolim d'lo shem ekra because of min hayonah min b'nei atarim. Right, Rashi. Right, I just basically reiterated what Rashi taught me, and that is the Torah never uses the words b'nei torim. Never. So v'emas I torim, and now by a tour, when does it reach physical maturity? Rashi describes. V'emas I torim ksherim mishiyazhivu. Their coat, their down, has to turn a yellow color, a golden color. That's the signs of maturity. The emesai b'nei yonah psulim mishiyatz hivu notza muzhevish shesaviv atzavar. The area around the neck starts to turn yellow. That is a sign of maturity, which would disqualify the b'nei yonah. The point, however, is very simple. Not to get lost in the details, the point is very simple. If the tour is too young or the B'nai Yonah is too old and I do Malika, the Malika is no good. Since this bird is no longer qualified to be brought up onto the Mizbeach, therefore my Malika will not save it. Meaning it will be a Nevela even if I do Malika. Next case in the Mishnah. Shif Shagapa. The wing dries up. Okay? So it's got a bum wing. Not just a bum wing, it dried up. Totally dried up. Shriveled up wing. So that's no good. It's missing an aver. It's missing a limb. So that's a disqualifier. Therefore, if I do Malika, the Malika doesn't help. It will become a Nevela. Nismas Eina. The eye gets gouged out. Now, here, I speak very carefully. Eye gets gouged out. If it's just got some eye issue, right? Rashi describes Dukin Shaba Ayin, which we normally translate as cataracts. By a bird, that's not a big deal. in general, just in general, you should know that when it comes to blemishes, physical blemishes, there's a much higher level of sensitivity by animals that you don't have by birds. By animals, a physical blemish could be, well, we get to Bechoros, we're going to be discussing it all of it in detail. A nick in the ear, right, a cut on the lip, right, a cataract in the eye, those are all blemishes by an animal. By a bird, we don't care so much. Right, the bird just simply has to have all of its limbs. If it's missing a limb, that's a blemish. But a little sliver, right? These things by birds, don't bother us that much. It simply cannot be mechusar aver. Can't be missing a limb. Okay. So when the Mishnah over here describes nismas ena, so Rashi says what you're going to have to say over here is the eye's actually gouged out. That's considered missing a limb. A gouged eye is considered missing a limb. Shenik the raglo, or if a leg is cut off. So mitame bebeis ablia. Now, because the bird is missing a limb, therefore your malika won't help at all. The bird will become an avela. Nismasena shenik the raglo mitame bebeis ablia. Ze'aklal. Now we get to the general rule of the Mishnah. Kol shepsul bekodesh ena mitame bebeis ablia. Psulo bekodesh, meaning that if at basically, it's a carbon. Just something happened in the Beis HaMikdash that rendered it disqualified. But essentially, it was fit at one point to bring up to be a carbon. It's just, you did Malika with your left hand. Right? Or, I don't want to say this because the Gemara is going to confuse you, but let's say you did Malika at night. Right? Let's use that example. Okay. But in other words, it was fit to be brought as a carbon. So then, at least the malika will help in that it won't be a nevela. If, however, its psul is, loya psul of bekodesh, but if it was disqualified even before getting to the base of mikdash, like it was missing a limb, like it was too old, like it was too young, where there it was never even fit to be born onto the mizbeach, the malika will not help at all. The bird will become a nevela once it dies. Okay. Amarav. So we start now with the discussion. The Gemara, small balayla imatam and vesablia. Zar vistak imatam and vesablia. So Rav says something which, for the most part, is not controversial. If you do malika with your left hand, okay, not a good malika, but at least it's not a nevela. If you do malika at night, okay, again, you shouldn't have done it at night. Avodah is not done at night, but it won't be a nevela. At least you saved it from being a nevela. The part that is controversial that Rav says is a zar, a non-kohen. Now, doing malika with a knife that we already talked about back in the Mishnah. The Mishnah told us that if you do it with a knife, it's no good. Either because you're a machlid or because you're a dores. Okay, that we got. Well, the controversial part of what Rav says is that if a non-kohen does malika. So what's Rav's position? No good at all. The bird will be a nevela. So if I go into the Beis HaMikdash and I do malika with the back with my thumb, so it's not good at all. So the Gemara says, let's understand this. I don't understand it. Mishnah small di islay hechsher b'yom kippurim v'layla islay hechsher b'evarim. So here's the part I don't get. Look, why is it that if I do malika with my left hand, it has some effectiveness to it? So the reason why is because with your left hand, at least the left hand is, we have a Yom Kippur. We go back to this scenario many times. Right, that in Yom Kippur you walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you're holding the spoon in your right hand, you're holding the shovel in your left hand. Okay, so at least you see that there's sometimes the left hand is being used. And Laila, nighttime, you're right, you don't shecht the carbon at night. But you do burn the fats and the limbs of an animal at night, right? Evarim upadarim. Zarnami isle echsher b'shchita. So the Gemara says, so here's the part I don't understand. You're telling me that if a non-kohen does malika, it's no good at all. No good at all? I do find a non-kohen, a zar, he does shchita by an animal. Right? So how can you tell me that it has no effectiveness whatsoever? So the Gemara says, Shechita lav avodehi. Second time in the Masechta that we've seen the Gemara use this terminology, shechting is not considered an avoda. Tough line of Gemara to understand. Shechting is not an avoda. Now, the reason why the Gemara says it is because, well, a non-Kohen does it. And since a non-Kohen does it, by definition, it's not an avoda. Okay, and you have to process that together with the fact, huh?
We sheft all the time.
Well, right, we sheft all the time.
So that's a burning is also not an avoda.
A burning is an avoda. Burning has to be done by a Kohen.
The thing is that Melika, we established that it has to be done on the Mizbeach. That's the whole idea of how they got the idea that a Kohen has to do it.
That, but it doesn't have to be standing on the Mizbeach. Not always. Meaning, yeah, we do see that he goes on the Sovev, but you could really do Malika anywhere, right? Malika b'chol makum, we learned earlier. You have to, in other words, the challenge of understanding Shechita Lav Avoda.
How did you write that the Kohen had to do the Malika when you were learning about that, by the fact that he's the only person that is allowed to do that?
The Gemara did say that, right? The Gemara says, right, as one of the points in the Gemara is that you're not going to find a non-Kohen on the...
Right.
But you're right, but still, okay, but that's not the source, that's just a... That's a result.
How far do we take it? Shechita lav avoda, but that wouldn't mean that you could do it on Shabbos.
Right. In other words, right.
No.
Shechita, right. Shechita, obviously, right, yeah. For the karbanos that you bring on Shabbos, you do the shechita on Shabbos.
Right.
But also, you have... The challenge is that if you have a kavana during shechita, right, a machshava during shechita, it'll pasul the karban, assuming it's one of the... Right? It's one of the machshavas that pasul.
Right.
So, okay, fine, right, and every time we count the dalet avodos, we always count shechita.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's challenging. It's definitely challenging, but still, the Gemara says it very clearly. Right, I shouldn't make too much of a stink about something the Gemara is very clear about. Shechita is lav avoda. So the Gemara's point is essentially this: you're right, a non-Kohen does shechita, but so what? Shechita is not considered an avoda. V'lav amar Rabbi Zera shechita para bizar psula. So the Gemara says, well, what about this? Paraduma. Can a non-Kohen shecht the Paraduma? Now, Paraduma is not shecht in the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
Paraduma shecht it outside the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the entire avoda of the Paraduma is done outside the Beis HaMikdash. Right? It's done on the Har Zesim and the Har Mishcha, facing the Azara. But we know that when it comes to the Paraduma, it has to be done by a Kohen. Now, when Rav was explaining this to everybody, he said, look, in the Parsha Paraduma, you find the words Elazar, you find the word Chuka, meaning Elazar is a Kohen. Chuka tells us this is the only way that it can be done with Elazar, or an Elazar type, meaning a Kohen. Right? So the Gemara says, so I'm demonstrating to you that Shechita is to a certain degree an Avoda. The Gemara says, no, Shani Par de Kachem Bedek Abayisi. It's not Kachem Mizbeach, it's Kachem Bedek Abayis. Kachem Mizbeach means a carbon that's going to go on the Mizbeach. This is not a carbon that's going on to the Mizbeach. What happens to the Paraduma? We shecht it, we burn it. It's not Kachem Mizbeach. It's Kachem Bedek Abayis. V'lo kol dekenu. So the Gemara says, well, can't we make a simple kavachomer? Kachem Bedek Abayis ba'o kahuna, Kachem Mizbeach mibaye. If Kachem Bedek Abayis requires a Kohen, Kachem Mizbeach, which is a higher form of Kodesh, don't you think that should for sure require a Kohen? Amar Rav Shesha, Bered Ravidi, Midi Dehava Amaras Negayim. No. The Gemara says it's not a Kavachomer. In fact, it's not connected at all. The Gemara presents a very simple argument. Look, you have something called Mar Negayim, right? Seeing Tsaras. Who's qualified to look at Tsaras? Only a Kohen. If I have tzaras, God forbid, if I have tzaras, I can't go to a non-Kohen. Now, what are you going to tell me? That's an avoda, right? That's an avoda. It's not an avoda. It just happens to be for reasons where the Torah demands you need a Kohen. Same thing with paraduma. Sheffling the paraduma is not an avoda. It just happens to be the Torah says you need a Kohen. But don't then come away, walking away saying, oh, it must be an avoda. No. It just happens to be that in this particular mitzvah, the Torah demands that it has to be done with a Kohen. So, mitzvah havam ras negam, delav avodi, yuvai kahuna. All right, fine. So that's not an avenue to go down. V'neilof mi bama. Now, the Gemara says, why don't we take a moment and look at the world of bama. There were times historically where we can go into our backyard and offer a carbon in our backyard. Okay. Nowadays, it's called a barbecue, but it's not a carbon, right? What we do is not a carbon, right? Also, we don't shecht in our backyard, to the best of my knowledge, right? But it used to be, right? There were times historically, Nov, Givon, Gilgal, right? Where you didn't, where they, there was no central location of bringing a karban, there was no Shiloh, there was no Yerushalayim, and therefore you were entitled to shecht in your backyard. Now, did you have to invite a kohen over to do the shechita? Did you have to invite a kohen over to do the malika? And the answer is no. You didn't. You could do it yourself if you're not a kohen. So v'nelev mibama, mibama lo yalev. So the Gemara just quickly, almost effortlessly dismisses it. The Gemara says, no, Bama is so unique, you can't learn out any halachas from Bama. Meaning, you're right, there was a point historically where everybody, the populace can go out and offer karbanos, and they can, you know, be like Cohen-like, but so what? Meaning, it's not, it doesn't create any type of precedent whatsoever. There's nothing that could be learned out from what happens in the Bama.
Did they offer birds in Bamas?
Debatable. Machlokas.
Because, I mean, that's the whole question.
Right.
Right. The Milka specific.
Excellent. Excellent point. Gemara's, we're gonna touch on it a little bit later on. The Hatanya, but the Gemara says, but wait a second, really? We learned nothing from Bama. We learned in the Brayso. Hatanya, we're gonna learn later on the ninth parak that if Yotze, a carbon that was taken out of the Azara, which is disqualified, right? Or the, I should say rather, the blood that was taken outside the Azara, which disqualifies the carbon. If that carbon goes on the Mizbeach, don't take it down. Mizbeach can handle it. Why? Sha'ara yote kasha bebama. Because when the bamas were permissible, yote was okay. Now, in of itself, that's very difficult to understand. Because there was no concept of yote by bama. There were no walls that so to say, boarded you in. Okay, and it's done in efshar mishi'i efshar. Okay. In of itself, it's just difficult. But still, it's a Braisa, and the Braisa says, we're learning something from Bama to the larger world of Karban and Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, no. Tana Azos Torah A'ola Samech Leh. The real drasha comes from a Pasuk of Zos Torah Sa'ola. Hi A'ola O'machda. Okay? That's the real drasha. The comparison to Bama was just kind of like a mnemonic. It helped us remember. But that's not really the source of the halacha. Okay. Not to get too lost in where we are right now, here's basically where we are. We're discussing which malikas are going to at least rescue the bird from being a nevela. Rav says that if you do it with a knife, no good at all. The bird will be a nevela. Correct. Right? Absolutely concede. If you do it with your left hand, if you do it at night, at least it saves it from being a nevela. Rav, the point of controversy, is Rav says that if a non-Kohen does it, the bird will be a nevela. Meaning that malika was zero. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's as if the bird died on its own, the bird will be a nevela.
His left hand and...
No, a non-Kohen. Just a simple non-Kohen. A non-Kohen does a malika, it's nothing, says Rav. The bird will be a nevela. Okay. Shmuel Amar. Why do I say Shmuel? Sorry. Rav Yochanan Amar. Sorry. Not a machlok is Rav and Shmuel. Machlok is Rav and Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan Amar. Zar e matamei abeis abliya. Sag matamei abeis abliya. And Rav Yochanan disagrees. He says that when you have a zar doing malika, okay, it's not like it was done kedasu kedin. But at least the malika was effective. It saved the bird from being a nevela. The bird will not give off tuma abeis ablia. Now, aside from the svara over here, which...
Is that edible, though? Can anybody eat it?
Nope.
So what's the penalty for eating it?
The penalty for eating it is that you are eating a bird that didn't receive a proper...
It's recognized as a nevela, though, no?
It's not... According to Rav Yochanan, it's not going to be a nevela.
If he can't eat it, how? Wondering what based on what?
Right, where are we right now in terms of the world of Isser?
Right. Because it's tuna, but you can't eat it. So
right.
You're never going to get to it.
Right. Okay, that's a tricky question. Maybe he'll tell you. Is he going to tell you that you can eat it?
No, you can't. The whole point of the melika is that it's only for Kohanim can eat. That melika is only designed for Kohanim. By definition, it's only Kohanim can do melika to eat. If it's strolled as a melika anywhere under anything.
I mean, it is. I'm not sure. Right.
It's not. It's a trait.
Right. You're confusing me with the question, but it's a fair question though. Just, I mean, it's a carbon. It's a carbon that didn't receive its proper. Maybe me'ila is the operating term over here because it's a carbon.
There are a lot of things that you can't eat that don't give off tumah.
That's right. I understand that, but in other words, part of Rav Yochanan's point is that it's not a nevela. So then,
it's not
matame, but it's not edible. All right. Look, right. Okay. A little bit confused, but fine. Those are the right questions. So, tamei beis abliya, stakim tamei beis abliya. So, fine. So, Tanan. So, we have a machlokas between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. The question on the table, the issue on the table, is if a non-kohen does malika. Now, again, a non-kohen can is not qualified to do malika. That's not the issue. We know he's not qualified. We're not suggesting for a moment that the carbon was done validly. What is on the table of discussion is there any effectiveness whatsoever to the malika that he does? Meaning, is the bird going to be an avela or not going to be an avela? According to Rav, the bird's going to be an avela. Meaning, the non-kohen doing malika is nothing. Zero. Zero effectiveness. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no. At least it's enough to remove the tumas nevela. So the Gemara says, well, let's take a look at our Mishnah, because our Mishnah seems to be pretty clear, right? Kol ha-psulim shemalku malikas ha-psula. What does the Mishnah say? It's the first line of the Mishnah. It's that line that was in the parentheses. The Mishnah says that kol ha-psulim, anyone who is disqualified, the malika that's done is a malika psula, but don't forget the rest of that line of the Mishnah. Right? Ve'ina mitame bebeis abliya. At least it's not a nevela. It's not a good malika, but it's not a nevela. So according to Rav Yochanan, Mishnah's great, because the Mishnah says the word kol. We know kol is always a riboy, right? Kol ha-shochtim, right? Whenever we have the word kol in the Mishnah, it means to be inclusive. So we're including a non-kohen. But according to Rav, what's the kol coming to include? So the Gemara says, lav lasui small balayla. Well, the Gemara, in defense of Rav, says, well, could be talking about the left hand, it could be talking about doing malika at night. So the Gemara says, that's a little strange. Small balayla behedja katani. Yeah, but that's in the Mishnah. Right? The kol is coming to include something that's not explicitly mentioned in the Mishnah. You want to tell me the kol is coming to include left and night? The Mishnah says it straight out. So, Taniva Hadar Mefarish. So, the Gemara says, well, what you could say is that it gives a opening statement and then it explains the opening statement. By the way, that line of Gemara certainly makes it sound like that the right place to put this line of Mishnah is in the beginning of the Mishnah. Because the Gemara just said, Taniva Hadar Mefarish. It teaches it and then it explains it. So it sounds like the way we have our Mishnah presented to us is in fact correct. They call up psulim shemalkum likasim psula, and then okay, fine. Tashma zeakla kosher psula bekodesh matame begadim beis abliya. All right, so we go to the last line of the Mishnah. In the last line of the Mishnah, we have a zeakla. Now you know how zeakla works. Zeakla is always coming to include something. So what is it coming to include over here? Kosher psula bekodesh matame begadim beis abliya. Bishlam Rav Yochanan kol asui yizar. So according to Rav Yochanan, again, perfect. The Zeha Klal is coming to include a non-kohen. Allah Rav Lasuyemai, but according to Rav, what is it coming to include? Ula Tamech, the Gemara says, okay, but even if I'm going to buy into your argument, look at the next line of the Mishnah. Shalo Yapsula Bekodesh Lasuyemai. When the Mishnah says, Lo Hayapsula Bekodesh, what is that coming to include? Ella Reisha Lasuya Shkitas Kashim Bifnim, Seifa Lasuya Malikas Chulan Bechutz. All right. It has nothing to do with the person shechting. It has everything to do with method of shechting. Meaning that what the Reisha is coming to include is Shkitas Kashim Bifnim. If I, instead of doing Malika to a carbon, I do Shkita to a carbon. Knife, front of the neck, to a carbon. Now, again, that's not good. The Torah does not prescribe it that way. The Torah prescribes Malika. Okay, but shechting works. At least it won't be an avela. So seifa lasuim malikas chulin bechutz. If I take a chulin animal, a non-carbon animal outside the base of Mikdash, and I do malika, the bird is a nevela. Period. Okay? That's how Rav will explain the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is not at all talking about a zar. Okay, so basically now, it's a machlokas.
What if a kohen did? Is it nevela?
Still nevela. Huh? It's still nevela. Because malika, it's not a function of the kohen, it's a function of carbon. Carbon needs a malika. One of the details is that it has to be a kohen. But it's not that the kohen has some special power where if he does malika now, that's a good shechita. It's really a function of the carbon. Okay, where do we leave ourselves off now? Machlokas. We're now in the world of machlokas. What if a non kohen does malika on the base of mikdash to a carbon? So Rav says it's zero. It's as if the bird died on its own. The bird is an avela. Somebody eats the meat of the bird. He's metame tumas beis ablia. Fine. According to Rav Yochanan, it's not a good malika. We're not suggesting that for a moment, but at least the bird is not a nevela. Meaning, according to Rav Yochanan, just I'm going to put it in other words. According to Rav Yochanan, when you're in the Beis HaMikdash, when you're in the temple courtyard, malika is shechita. Right? Meaning that just like shechita outside the Beis HaMikdash saves the bird from being a nevela, in the Beis HaMikdash, right, instead of saying the word shechita, we're just going to replace shechita with another method of shechting, which is called malika. So even if a non-kohen were to do it, and again, it's not going to be a good carbon, but at least shechita, quote-unquote, was done to the bird. Okay, that's Rav Yochanan. Tanya Kavasa de Rav Yochanan. And look, number one, our Mishnah really supports Rav Yochanan. Right? Doesn't say it, but the Mishnah uses terminology of kol ha'psulim shemalku, right? Our Mishnah really does support Rav Yochanan. Number two, the Gemara is going to quote a Braisa, and the Braisa here is fully supportive of Rabbi Yochanan. Tanya Kavas is Rabbi Yochanan, Malika Zah Malka Apostle, I'm sorry, Malka Zah Malka Apostle, HaPigol V'Anos V'Atame, Ein Metame Intumas, Metame Nabe Sabliya. If I have Malika done by a non-Kohen, if I have Malika done by a Kohen who is Apostle, he's an Onain, he's an RL, okay? In those cases, the Braisa says, it's not a Nevela. Period. End of that discussion. Good, we can move on now. Okay, so from the Gemara standpoint, if I ask you, who does the halacha follow like, it seems pretty clear the Gemara ends up going like Rabbi Yochanan. That a non-kohen that does malika, at least the bird is not a nevela. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Shamati Shtayim. Rav Yitzchak says, I heard two things. Achas Kemitza Zar, Achas Malika Zar. I heard about kamitza done by non-kohen. I heard about malika done by non-kohen. Achas teired, achas lo teired. Okay, we get to the ninth perek, which we'll get to shortly. We're going to see a lot of this. Should I bring it off the mizbeach? Should I not bring it off the mizbeach? Look, if you ask from the get-go, right? A non-kohen did malika. Should I put it up onto the mizbeach? You're going to look at him and say, of course not. It's not done by a kohen. Not proper. However, we're going to see during the ninth perek that there are certain things where the mizbeach can tolerate. Right? The mizbeach is tolerant. Things that shouldn't have gone up, but if you take it up, you don't have to bring it back down again. Right? And that becomes basically a gauge over here for, okay, at least it was some effectiveness. You know, there's a terrible expression. It's always easier to ask for forgiveness than to ask for permission.
Yeah, right.
It's terrible. Meaning, just do it, and then afterwards you'll ask for forgiveness. Okay, it's not a great way to run your life. really, it's not.
Finally, after endorsement, you're not showing
before. Right, I'm not an endorsement, but there's truth to it, right? Right by the mizbeach over here. If you bring something up on the mizbech, right? If the mizbech could talk, the mizbech would say to you, right? You shouldn't have done it, but now that it's here, okay, leave it. Okay. So one of those things. So Rabbi Yitzchak says, look, kamitza was done by a non-kohen. Okay, which means we're talking about a mincha, obviously. So we're in the world of mincha, a non-kohen, which he's not qualified. He's not a kohen. It's an avoda. Kamitza is an avoda. So a non-kohen did it. So, and then the other statement that he heard about was a non-kohen doing malika. Now, in one of those two cases, the mizbeach can tolerate it. Meaning, if the mincha went up onto the mizbeach, or the kamitza, I should say, or if the bird went up onto the mizbeach, in one of those two cases, the mizbeach can tolerate. Now, Rav Yitzchak says, v'lo yadana. But I don't know which of those two is better, which of those two is worse. Which of those two can the mizbeach tolerate? Okay? So, Amr Chizkia Mistabra Kamitza Tered Malika Lo Seired. Okay? If I'm guessing, says Chizkia, if I'm using more than guessing, right? If I'm going to use Svar, if I'm going to use logic, I'm going to say that Kamitza should go down and the Malika should not go down.
I'm going to say okay? The other way.
Right? All right, but you're looking at it from a practical standpoint, right? The kamitza's flour kind of spread out on the top. Okay, I hear you, but right, he's talking about
yes and thrown it. Yeah.
Okay, so malika, so kamitza tered malika lo tered. So maishna malika diyeshna bebama. So why? Because malika, at least you have in the bama for those historical times when. I can go to my backyard and offer something in my backyard, so me, the non-Kohen, I could do Malika.
You said that was controversial, wasn't it?
Well, we said that because of the Gemara right now. Right? Malika di Yeshna Bebama. Kamitza Nami Yeshna Bebama. V'chi Tema. So the Gemara says, wait a second. That's not a good art. So the Gemara says, you know, if there's birds in the backyard, there's minchas in the backyard as well. V'chi Tema and Mincha Bebama. Because we know. Look, here's the controversy. Look, it's either both or neither. Meaning that we're going to see later on when we get to this topic of Bama, which by the way is one of the later Prakim and Zvachim. We're going to talk about Bama at length. There is an opinion that says that you can bring a bird in your backyard when bamas were permissible. It's that same person who says you can bring a mincha. The person who says that you can't bring a bird also says that you can't bring a mincha as well. So it's either or. So your Chizkia, your logical argument, well, birds can be brought in your backyard. That same person says menachos can be brought in your backyard. So that logic is not going to bring us anywhere. Ela'ema. So the Gemara says, okay, still, I'll tell you what, there is something to be said about what I just presented. Because when there was a time when bamas were permitted, and when malika was done to the birds, so even I, the non-kohen, can go to my backyard and do malika. Which, by the way, so strange. I mean, we're not in the Beis HaMikdash, I'm in my backyard. Malika normally would make it a nevela, render it a nevela. Okay, but in a time when bamas were permissible, that bird is a carbon.
And you would have to know.
And right, and one of the harder avodas of the right, we ranked it as one of the three hardest avodas in the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, we didn't rank it; the Gemara did.
Why would just cut it with a knife?
Because it's a carbon. No, and the Torah says that once you have a carbon, you have to do malika. So not by birds.
Birds has to be definitely.
Birds have to be done malika through the process of malika. So fine. So the Gemara says so in the time when bamas were permissible, so you just did malika. In the time, however, when menachos were permissible, so you didn't have a klisha race, meaning you did kamitza, you took a fistful of the flour, and you went to your altar on your backyard, and you threw it right on the top, and that's it. There was no klisharis. In the Beis HaMikdash, there's a step in between. You go into the klisharis, you bring the klisharis to the mizbeach, you touch the klisharis to the mizbeach, you bring the klisharis up on top. So there's another step involved. So, I'm telling you, malika is easier to transition from bama to Beis HaMikdash. Then kamitza is easier to transition from bama to Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so in kish b'klisharis b'mincha b'bama. Okay, let's do a little bit more for this morning. Malak b'smol, Oh, Belaila. If I do Malika with my left hand or if I do Malika at night. Tana Rabban Yachotei Malika Shehi Lifnim Etamid Beganim Abeis Abliya Tamalomer Nevela. Okay. Let me introduce. Parshas Achrei Mos, Perek Yizayin, the end of Perek Yizayin. Okay. Really, the end of this Perek talks about the mitzvah of Kisu Ehadam. You shecht a bird, you shecht a wild animal, a chaya. So there's a special mitzvah called Kisui Adam. You take dirt, you cover the blood. Anyone who goes to Kaparos on Erev Yom Kippur, so you see this take place, right? I'm not one of those people, but that's fine. It's just, you know, it's whatever. It's a controversy. So, but it's fine. Many good religious Jewish people go do Kaparos. If you see it, you see it done. So you see there's a mitzvah of Kisui Adam. You cover the blood of the bird. Okay, it's based on this psukim. The Torah says, "V'chol nefesh asher no, not that one, the one before." Ki nefesh kol basar damo benafshahu ve'amar levnei so adam kol basar lo sechel ki nefesh kol basar damohu kol ochalav yikareis. You're not allowed to eat the blood. It's almost as if the covering of the blood is almost like the Torah reminding us you're not allowed to eat the blood. That's not the reason behind the mitzvah, but the Torah does juxtapose, and then the parsha ends off with the following pasuk. Now, if you have a person who eats nevelo trefa, ba'ezrach uvager, citizen or a convert, v'chi beis begadav, he's got to wash his clothing, v'rachatz b'mayim, tovel namikvah, v'tame ad ha'erev v'taher, and then he's tame until the evening, and then he becomes tahor. Okay? V'im lo yicha beis uvesaro lo yirchatz, if he doesn't tovel namikvah, v'nasa avano, so then he's got what to answer for with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? He's going to bear his sin. Okay. Torah tells us that if I eat nevel and treif, I'm tamei. Rashi over here on the pasuk tells us, a long Rashi, but we're talking about birds over here. Because if we're talking about the carcass of a regular animal, well before I eat it, I become tamei just by touching it, just by carrying it. Rashi over here, quoting the Torah's Kohanim, says that we're talking about birds. Okay. Tomorrow, when we start this sugya, we're going to see that what the Gemara is going to do with this pasuk is basically teach us the halacha that if I do malika with my left hand, if I do malika at night, that's fine. If I do shechita, or if I do malika outside the Beis Hamikdash, the bird's going to be in a vela. When we get together tomorrow, we'll see the pasuk inside. We'll see how the Gemara darshans the pasuk. Okay.